In Genesis 22, verse 2, Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, it says there, "Then God said, take your son, one of the many that you got." Is that what it says? Your only son. Take your only son. The one that you don't care about, that you just, or the one that's just, no. The Bible says, "Then God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." What a command, eh? That God gave to Isaac. Take your son. The one that you've been praying about. The one that you've been agonizing over. The one that you've been worrying about. The one you've been wishing for that you had. Go take him to the Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there as a sacrifice. What a command that God gives us. I'm glad to be with you this morning. I traveled quite a bit. I thought, me and my wife said, well, this time around, you're not going to drive the morning all the way. Peter sent me an email. He says, "Man, I know you're taking the service. Can you do the lesson as well?" I said, "Yeah, okay, Peter, I'll do that." Just means I have to be here at 10:15. So we said, well, this time around, we're not going to make it drive all the way. So we spent the night in Snake Valley last night. You've got a cold world. I thought Melbourne was cold, but this part of the world is cold, man. I'm not really a cold weather person. My wife is more a person that can handle the cold, but this place is cold. I got into the car, 3.5 degrees. But God is good. And he's brought us here safely. I had to watch out. I thought there might be ice on the road. So I was going about 80 k's. Then I realized I'm actually a train driver because I got everyone crowding behind me. So I better pick it up and pick up the speed. And I said, oh, it should be all right. Hit the 100 k mark and brought us here safely. So I'm glad to be back in Hamilton this morning. Good to be back and good to be with God's people. I know there's some that have Some of you have gone somewhere else for the day. Peter said that there's a group that has gone somewhere. I'm not sure. But, well, he said he's not here for the day. But we will still have worship and have God's presence with us today. This morning's sermon is living a life of sacrifice. You know, living a life of sacrifice. When we come into this into this faith, when God accepts us as His own, when we accept it into this, and we think, well, now I'm accepted into this fold, I can expect all the blessings and everything. It's going to be good from now on, and blessings will come my way. And if I pray, and the Lord will just shower His blessings on me. And this road will just be good from now on. Think of scripture like abundant life and the one in Jeremiah that I have this plan for you, you know. I have this plan for you. I have this abundant life and all this imagery coming to our mind. And those are good promises. There's nothing wrong with those promises and I'll talk about that. And then we come across the part of sacrifice. Sacrifice. I try to ask different people, what do you think about sacrifice? One person says, well, when I go to the RSL and I put some money in the pokies, I sacrifice some money to get a winnings. And someone else will say, well, I sacrifice my time, you know, with my friends, and people got different ideas of sacrifice. Sacrifice is all about taking the best of what you have and what you are and giving it away because you are thankful for what has been given to you. That's what sacrifice is about. I'm thankful to you what you are to me. I sacrifice my time with my wife because I'm thankful for what she is to me. I'm thankful. In response, I sacrifice. A sacrifice is a response of thankfulness. When Abram made a sacrifice of offering, it was always in response to what God could do with him. God gave him land. God gave him a promise of a son. God gave him when Isaac sacrificed, it was always in response to a promise or something that God has given him. The concept was always God, Jesus, my provider. God, Jehovah, my provider. And we see that the word sacrifice, I'm going to delve in the area of a bit of the sanctuary. The sanctuary, you know, the sanctuary doctrine to our church. People say it's unique to our church. There are other churches that do have concepts of the sanctuary doctrine. Our church is one of the churches that I know of that teaches the sanctuary doctrine in almost its entirety. We include the whole thing, the sanctuary, the building of the sanctuary, the whole, everything has meaning, the priests, the clothes that they wear, the 12 stones on it, everything has meaning. It has relevance to the story of Jesus and his salvation for us. And so we, as Adventists, we preach the gospel of the sanctuary. I'm a firm believer in our doctrine of the sanctuary. It is a doctrine that has come to us through much trial and much error and through quite a lot of turmoil. This doctrine has come to us, but it's a doctrine that teaches us that Jesus saves no matter what. And it teaches us about how Jesus saves. So that's what the sanctuary is about to us. And as I read the text in Genesis 22, that God tells Isaac to take your son, your only son that you love, take him to the Mount Moriah and offer him there as a sacrifice. You know, I'm sure God can ask me probably a lot of things. Drive to Hamilton and go preach for the day. Or he can ask me to do a lot of things. But there's one thing, I wonder if God must... we've got one son today, Wesley. He's our only son, our only child. We've only got one son. And he told us, well, his yearly, the leave that he takes, when he takes vacation, is he goes to Solomon Islands and they work on a mission project there. And I asked him, well, what do you do? He says, well, we get off at Honiara Airport, and if the weather's fine, then we jump into another smaller plane and we land, I don't know where, somewhere else in the jungle or somewhere else on the island. And then we get into this little boat, and the way he describes this boat is not a big thing, and they go cross-channel to another island. From where they are, it's about 6-8 hours on this little dugout, if I can call it that. I don't think it's a dugout. I think it's a... but it's not in any way a big boat with a cabin and, you know. It's a little open vessel thing, and they go across this. And 8 hours across this. And he tells me there's a section in the channel when the waves start coming up, and it says it's higher than the side of the boat. And he says we even have to hold on to the sides of this vessel so we don't get washed over. That was the last visit. I don't know if you know Laurie Storr from Plenty Valley Church. It's his project that he has in Solomon Island, and my son goes with him and assists him on this project. But whenever he goes, I say, Lord, man, please, that's my only son, you know? That's Wesley, you know? That's my only boy that I've got, you know? Take him. Use him, But I've got that spot in my heart that says, oh, Wesley, why do you have to go to Solomon Islands, man? I mean, there's a lot of other things you can do, you know? Why can't you just go to the entrance or to go to Mount Gambier or to Warrnambool or go even to Sydney, you know, but to Solomon Islands. And then he tells me, I said, and what's the people like? He says, do you know, 10 years ago they had a case of cannibalism on the island of Solomon. I said, oh my goodness, is that where you go and go work with the people? He says, no, don't worry, it's all fine, you know, don't worry. And this goes through my mind, you know. And that's why I can understand when God told Abram, take your only son, the son whom you love, the one that has been the promise to you, the one who you have made many sacrifices over. And when Abram made a sacrifice, it was always in response to a promise that God has made to him. Always. It was always in response to a promise. Some form of benefit that God was the provider, Jehovah Jireh, the provider, and Abram knew this concept that I can go anywhere in this world. He's practiced it before. God told Abram, go to a place that you do not know of. You don't know the consequence of. You don't know the people there. You don't know what there is. You don't know what lies ahead. You know, do you go through life, doing things because I'm so confident that I can do this and, I can do whatever I've planned to do and everything's gonna work out? Is that how we go through life? Do you go through life saying that my life is just going to be plain sailing from now? You know, God is in control and it's all plain sailing. I don't have to worry about the thing. Is that how you go through life? They say Christians shouldn't worry, you know, and we shouldn't worry. There's a Bible text, there's a Bible chapter, Matthew chapter 5, that talks about worrying and that you don't have to worry. But is that how we live our lives? Do we go through our life without worrying? Okay. Ah, no worries, mate. I learned about that when I came to Australia. Is that how we go through life? No worry. No pressure. Ah, it's all gonna go fine. Children are looked after. Wife is happy. Smooth sailing from now. Is that how we live as Christians? All fine. Maybe that's the ideal. But what's the reality of life? What was Abram's reality? Did he go hop, skip, and jump? Well, Lord, let's go and go sacrifice Isaac. Yeah. Because I trust in you. Was that the response? Isaac didn't even tell his wife. I mean, Abram didn't even tell his wife. There's no mention of him telling Rebecca, telling Sarah, look, we're going to go sacrifice Isaac today. Did he do that? He knew what God was calling him to do. Consequences was grave. The outlook was that son of promise, he would be returning with the donkeys, with the mules, and with the servants, and without his son. That was the consequence that he looked at. And he said, if I have to obey God, and if I have to follow God every step of the way where he leads me, God asked me to sacrifice his son, my son. And that's what he went to go do. That was the purpose that he did. Loaded that donkey. Got to sacrifice Isaac now. Gets up the next morning, loads up the donkey. Servants, can you load the donkeys? Get everything ready. See that there's enough food for the journey. That was what was faced a life when living a life of sacrifice dedicated to God. Sacrifice becomes a part of living. When we follow God, when we decide to follow God, sacrifice becomes a part of that. Sacrifice was practiced. It became a part of the practice of Israel. Types of offerings. There was various types of offerings. There was obligatory offerings and there was voluntary offerings. Offerings you could decide, well, I want to do this offering or participate in this offering, but Today I don't want to participate in it. But there was other offerings where it was obligatory. I had to do this offering. You know, there's no choice about it. There's no, if I want to follow God and do what He does and I want to obey what God tells me, I have to do this offering. But there's offerings that was voluntary. And I'm going to talk a bit about types of offerings that was, given in the sanctuary's service. God established the sacrificial system so that believers could enter into a close relationship with Him. This is why offerings could be brought in all different kinds of situations, for thanksgiving, for an expression of joy and celebration, for a gift, for a petition, for forgiveness, for penitential plea, for a symbol of dedication, and for restitution. Restitution, something that is very much a part of our Christian life is restitution. You once were like that, but now I put you back in the place where you should be. You were once lost, but now you are saved. You once were dead, but now you are alive. You once were in a condition of sin, but now you are a follower of God. So restitution becomes a very part of the sacrificial and life that we live. The widespread function of the offering shows that every aspect of our life must come under God's control. That's what the sacrificial system means. That every aspect of my life becomes under God's control. Everything, Lord, everything, me. My car, my youth, my business, my wife, my family, my grandchildren, my children that have to go through school, through university. All these things that are, that when we look ahead in life and says, can I accomplish that? When we look ahead, we can't discern the future. You know, we don't know what's going to be ahead. We got all these things that we got to do in life. There's bills to pay. We got to put our kids through school, but there's bills to pay. I mean, we can put our kids through school if the government pays for everything and pay for the books, their transport to school, everything. But there's parts that we have to pay. There's things that we have to consider. Is there enough funds to look after these kids? Is there enough funds after I've paid for the school to run a household at home? Is there enough after I've paid for the school and paid for the electricity bills in the household? Is there enough to give my wife so she can go to Coles and buy some food there? So life becomes a worry and a tether. It becomes a burden. It becomes something on our mind constantly. But God says, give all of that to me. All of that. Read Matthew chapter 5. Read Matthew chapter 5. All of that we hand over to God in sacrifice. Including that special son, Isaac. That special part of your life. That part that you, that's my part. You know, Wesley is mine. No, Wesley is mine, Lord. You know, why must he go to Solomon Islands and go through all of that? And you know, he tells me that when they get to the island, that they got the equipment. So they're building an irrigation thing for system for a village, and they've got to put a tank up on the mountain, and the water rushes down to the village to create the pressure for. And they got this village. It's the first time they set it up last, and the first time that people could stand under a shower and shower themselves. That's the reality that they are doing there. And to get the equipment up there, he's got to climb this mountain with pipes and spanners and all the equipment that they need to build this thing. And I think, Lord, you know. And God tells me that special person in your life, that special moment, that special thing that you treasure, that thing that you are saying it's yours. Isaac is mine, Lord. You can't take him. Why you want to take him to a mountain? Why you want to take Wesley? God says that is part of the sacrifice that you give. Part of it. Not just the bulls and the worries and the all the other stuff you got to do. Yes, you give that to God. But part of all that bulls and worries and all that fuss you have to go through, you give that special part of your life as well. And that's what the sacrificial system was based on. And the burnt offering was part of that. The burnt offering was a voluntary. I'm going to talk about the three voluntary offerings. I'm not going to labor on it, but I'll just tell you a bit about the different types of offering. The burnt offering was a voluntary offering. And what the burnt offering was, there was the burnt offering, there was the burnt offering was, offering symbolized the total dedication of the one making the offering. Total dedication. Everything I am is yours. When we come and we give our offerings here, the what we are saying is everything. We give our tithes and offering, we return to you everything that I am. My qualifications, my identity. You know, sometimes, like for me, since when I was in South Africa, more especially, my job became my identity. Ask you, who are you? I'm Bevan, the software engineer. That became my identity. When I came to Australia, I lost that identity, not just my South African identity, but I took on other jobs and now I'm something else. I work at aged care. I used to do community work. I do all kinds of things at the moment. But my job became my identity, so my identity I had to give to God. Everything that I am, I give it to God. So the burnt offering is about, symbolizes the total dedication of the one making the offering. Take note, it's a voluntary offering. Okay. Then there was the grain offering. Who of you like burnt toast, the smell of burnt toast? No? Does anybody like the smell of, I've got a strange, olfactory. You know, I actually like walking through fish markets. Because I like the smell of fish. My wife will say, I know there's a lot of people, but I got this strange olfactory sense in my nose. And there's certain smells, and you know, burnt toast is one of the smells that I actually like. Actually, when it smells burning, and your fire alarm is going bleep, 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 bleep. I actually like that smell. It's quite an aroma, you know. And the grain offering was something like that. The grain offering symbolizes the dedication of our material possessions to God. Again, what is precious to us, okay? Material possessions to God, whether they be food, animals, or something else. The grain offering, also called the meal offering or cereal offering, was one of the main offerings presented by the Jews in worship to the Lord. It was formally instituted. You can read about the burnt offering and the grain offering, Leviticus 1, 2, and 3, and 4, on these different offerings. It gives a description of these offerings. Okay? Gives a description. If you want the full context of the offering, there's good Bible concordance that you can read and tells you about the full context of what those offerings are about. But Leviticus 1, 2, and 3 just gives you a description of how these offerings are. The grain offering, also called the meal offering or cereal offering, because it was probably some wheat and there was some different kind of grains in it and made up the cereal. The grain offering was one of the main offerings presented by the Jews in worship to the Lord. It was formally instituted for the use in the Jewish tabernacle. It would later be practiced by the Jewish temple as well. And then there was different types of grain offerings. I'm not going to dwell too much on it. In Leviticus 2, verse 1 to 3, it talks about the uncooked grain. And then there was the cooked grain, which they put on the fire. Now, there was the burnt offering, and there was a few other offerings. And they didn't make another fire for each offering. I can imagine that they made one fire, and then they did the burnt offering. And what the burnt offering was, that you brought a bull, something like an Angus or one of these other types of bulls, I don't know what. But not an ox, I'll tell you why not an ox. But you brought a bull, okay? I think there is oxen sacrifices, but I need someone to speak to me afterwards about this. And why I say not an ox, an ox is like a hybrid animal. Am I correct there? An ox is a kind of a hybrid, it's like a mule. Type of thing, a crossbreed between, and I don't think that the pure oxen, there's some Bibles that says oxen, but I don't think oxen was sacrificed. But we can talk about the technicalities of it afterwards. So you would bring a bull, and that was the rich folk, man. That was his Lexus, his BMW, What's the rich cars, the Rolls Royce of the day? The Ferrari, you know? The bull was that, you know? And just remember that a sacrifice is every aspect of my life I give to God, okay? Oxen is a castrated animal. So they did use oxen in this, okay. So, but still, I don't think they could use ox in that sense. Okay. And, yeah. So, a bull was the best of what you bring. So a rich guy had to bring the best of what he brings, you know. A rich guy, he couldn't bring his old chopped up little ute, rusty ute that he used to cart timber with. He had to bring the best. Open his garage, Ferrari, taking it for a sacrifice now. So the best of what you got. No blemish on it. You can't go and, like me, I go bump the car someplace and I say, okay, right, let's give that car to someone. No, it doesn't work like that. The best that you give. You give your best. This is my best suit I got on. I'll tell you why. I like the suit because it's black, and I got married in a black suit, and I can't fit in the suit that I got married in anymore. So this is the best I can make at the moment. It's my best. We give our best to the Lord. Your best can be whatever you deem to be best in your life. You know, sometimes we have this idea of best, and my best is a suit. So you haven't got a nice suit like me. I see some people with that suit here. So does that make it that that's not your best? Is that not your best? I came with my best today, you know. I've been in the suit with not a tie. Where's your dotted tie? Eh? You haven't even got a tie on. Oh, where's your tie? Sorry? You haven't... Oh, yeah, don't mean the cupboard. Okay. My friends, the point I'm trying to make is that our concept of best in our life of sacrifice, we cannot equate or compare to anybody else. Okay? Our journey with God is my personal journey. God knows in my heart, that this is my best. God knows in this brother's heart that is his best. God knows in your heart what is best. I cannot compare my best with your best. Okay? We cannot compare our best. So when the one brought a oxen to be burnt on the sacrifice, he couldn't say, well, he brings a goat. Because others had to bring a goat, and that was the best they had. My best goat, man. There goes Sally. Looked after her. She munched up all the carrots I had in the garden, but there she goes. But that was their best. So best is your best. Not what you think my best should be, or what I think your best should be, but it's my best. In sacrifice to what God has done for me. It's a response, my personal response to God. You know, sometimes we come to church and we want to compare. You know, we've got this, I've got to get through this, okay. We've got this timeline, you know. That person came into the church. Oh, he baptized into the church. And now we start setting a timeline up for the person, right. In 2 years' time, you must be a vegetarian, okay? And if you're not a vegetarian, and in 3 years' time, you must have known 5 chapters out of the Bible, you need to know it, you know? And we set these timelines up for each other, each one. I'm just like a local member as each one of you, okay? But I'm setting a timeline for you. By this time, you must have achieved this in your spiritual life. And if your spiritual life has not achieved that, oh boy. It's done for, and I've set a spiritual life for you, and for you. And we compare our lives of sacrifice with each other. That's where it falls apart. We must remember that living a life of sacrifice is following God and giving our best to Him always. In sacrifice to Him. It's our personal best. So the grain offering, the peace was a voluntary offering. The peace and well-being offering, I'll go to that one next, was also a well-being, was called a well-being offering. The peace and well-being offering. The well-being offering is only the only sacrifice in which the participant receives a part of the offering for personal consumption. The peace offering had regard to God as the giver of all the good things. These were divided between the altar, the priest, and the owner. They were called peace offering because in them God and His people did, as it were, feast together in token of friendship. The peace offerings were offered by way of supplication. If a man were in pursuit of any mercy, he would add a peace offering to his prayer for it. Christ is our peace offering. Okay. The peace offering, again, all these offerings points to Christ. Christ our peace. Christ our benefactor, the one who blesses us, who opens up ways for us. All of them pointed to Christ. Then there was obligatory offerings, and I'll just go through those. The obligatory offerings was the purification offering. And in a more, I would say a more Bible study context, we can go into that one day, if I come at it. We can go through the whole sacrificial system. I would like to do it one day. Get opportunity. We can study the sanctuary service with the sacrificial system and how the priest administered through this, through all of these. You know, just one thing. I speak to a lot of Adventists, and I talk to them about the 2,300 day prophecy. And they say, "What relevance has that got to me?" You know, I follow God and I believe in God, and you know, my friends, the 2,300 day prophecy, the prophecy of the sanctuary, the sacrificial system, it all has relevance in the sense that it shows us, it gives us detail in how God deals with sin in our life. Okay. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what it's largely about. So all these sins and offerings has got to do with that. There was a purification offering. This was an obligatory offering. You had no choice about it. Okay. You had to do this offering. Okay. You would have sin in your life. We all have sin in our life at some stage. So if you have sin in your life, you are obliged to do the obligatory offering. There was another offering that was also obligatory, and that was the trespass offering. The trespass offering was also obligatory. Leviticus 5, chapter 5, and from verse 14 onwards, you could read about it. Another purification offering got to do with sin in your life, and you were obliged to do this offering. So we spoke about three voluntary offerings and three obligatory offerings. You know, the pagans also did sacrifices. Pagans also practiced sacrifice. At the time when Abram was doing sacrifice, there was also other groups of people, pagans, that were doing sacrifices. But their sacrifice was more to appease. It was very works-based. And they believed that the very act of the sacrifice itself that they did the job that it had to do. When the sacrifices that Abram and the children of Israel did, that was different. It was symbolic. Okay, the whole thing was symbolic. When they cut that animal and did the whole sacrifice on it, and I can tell you, man, we always used to see in the Bible stories. I don't know if you read Uncle Arthur's Bible stories. Did any of you grow up with those books? You didn't grow up with it? You grew up with them? And it was always these priests in these pure white robes, you know, and they're standing, and there's the animal, and they're all in white. Man, I tell you, the reality of the day, it was a mess. It was a mess. Because they had to, I don't just make it sound to what we still got to have lunch, but you know that there was part of the sacrifice where they cut the animal and take the entrails out, and the priest had to, it was a mess. It was a gory mess, you know. So the whole sacrificial system, it was hands-on. But pagans also were sacrificing at the time, and they believed what they actually did was doing the act. If a God had to, some God had to be appeased, that act was appeasing the God. You know. Now tell me, in Leviticus chapter 2 and 3, it says that it speaks about the aroma was a sweet aroma to the senses of God. Do you think really think that God liked the smell of burning flesh of animals? Do you think, or the smell of burnt toast? Like, do you think that really appeased God? What was it? Was it that appeased God? What was it really that appeased God? Sorry? Obedience. Yes. Obedience, the act of following God to His word. That is what appeased God. A heart of sacrifice. When Abram said, "Lord, I'll saddle, put the saddle on these donkeys and take this child. I really don't want to do this thing, you know? I don't want to go sacrifice my child. You know, Lord, you're asking me to do a difficult thing. I must go to this place. I must do whatever God calls us to do. I don't really want to do it, but I'm going to go do it." And that was what God found appeasing, that aroma. It's not what I want to really do, but in obedience, I will follow you. I will follow you. And that was what was appeasing, what God found appeasing. That was the aroma that God felt. So the pagans, they did it to appease in God. They did all, in the book of Kings, I think it is, where Elijah spoke about on Carmel, where they even cut themselves, you know, with knives to appease a pagan god. It does not, the sacrifices was not about repentance of sin. It wasn't about to lead to a life of reformation. I once was, and now I want to be this person. I once was a thief, and now I want to follow God. It wasn't a life of reformation. The pagan sacrifices was success comes from the control of resources, not dependence on God. Okay, so God must bless me with all these resources. I'm going to do the sacrifice, this pagan sacrifice, and God blesses me with all these resources, and I use the resources to make my life successful. No, the Christian, the Abraham sacrificed because he knew that every success comes from God. I give my all in sacrifice to God, and that is where my sacrifice lies. Okay, no symbolism, but rather the credits, the actual sacrifice was the action. The power was in the actual act of the sacrifice. That's what pagans believe. When you actually cut the animal, then it gives power to you, and you can do all this incredible stuff. And that was what pagan sacrifices was about. Am I running out of time? I will wrap this up very shortly. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. I'll go through this quickly. And God gives Samuel instruction to Saul. Go and annihilate the Amalekites. The Amalekites was the same people that attacked the Israelites in the desert, so there was a bit of a vendetta thing. Go back and go sort those people out. So there was a bit of a historical, and I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm running out of time. So God gives the instruction through Samuel, tells Saul, go to the Amalekites, destroy everything, woman, man, child, every beast, every animal, everything, no living thing left, you cut down everything. Gives instruction. After the war, Samuel approaches and he hears bleating of sheep. And he hears this sound of bulls, you know, the roar they make. And he says, Saul, what's the sound that I hear? Won't we, or the instruction to go and destroy everything? And Saul says, well, you know, I've kept the best. I've kept the best, you know. Using that thing that I'm giving my best to God. Who else used excuse that I'm giving my best in sacrifice? There was someone else in the Bible. Caused the death of someone else. Cain also gave the excuse, I'm giving my best. You know what it means to give your best. That We can give our best and say, well, I'm giving my best. Hey, everybody, my best to God, you know. Is that how we give our best? When we give our best, what does the Bible say about the left hand shouldn't know what the right hand is doing? And that is why I can't compare myself that I got a suit and someone else hasn't got a suit. When we give our best, it's in total humiliation. It's between me and God. It's not about Saul saying, well, look what I've done. I brought the best. Or Cain saying, man, you know, I brought the best fruit. I've brought the best fruit to God. It's not like that. It's not about that. It's a humility thing. Sacrifice is a humility thing. And this is what Saul and Cain could not understand. And this is what the pagans cannot understand about the life of sacrifice. It's not about me. It's all about God, what God has done for me and what I am in response to Him. That's what it is. And Abram understood that. Abram didn't go stand on the hills. Hey guys, stand on Mount Moriah. I'm now going to sacrifice Isaac, everybody. My own son. He didn't even tell his wife about it. He got the message from God and it was an agonizing walk. Even though the servants was with, it was an agonizing, lonely walk to Mount Moriah to do the sacrifice and what God has called him to do. So, we see that Cain and Abel and the sacrifice that Cain and what Saul did, it's almost the same. It had the same symbolic, it had the same attributes as what the pagan sacrifices had. It was all about self, what I can achieve, what I can do. Cain's sacrifice, Saul's sacrifice, and the pagan sacrifice, they were all the same. They all had the same attributes to each other. Romans 12 verse 1, that famous verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I spoke about obligatory sacrifices and I spoke about voluntary sacrifice. The sacrifice that Abram was going to do when he sacrificed Isaac, was it obligatory or was it voluntary? I wanted to go through the attributes of each and I'm running out of time. But just answer me, was it obligatory or was it voluntary? What do you think it was? I should have gone through the attributes of each, what the obligatory sacrifice and what the voluntary sacrifice, but just from the top of the head. Voluntary. It was a voluntary sacrifice. What God called Abram to do was to go voluntary sacrifices. Your life of service, what you give to God, it's a voluntary act. When you give your all to Him, when you give your everything that you are, your everything, your successes, your failures, everything to God, it's a voluntary act. When I give myself, I say, Lord, take me as I am. I don't know what's going on ahead here. I've got $87.50 in my account, and I've got water to pay, and I've got electricity to pay, and then there's a children's school fees coming up, and then I've got to do that, and I've got this child yelling on the back of my seat here, and I'm trying to get to the shop to go and go do my daily thing. And Lord, just take it all. Take it all from me. In voluntary action, Lord, I give my all to you. Problems, bills, assets that kettle that grandma has left in inheritance for me, my home, that crop that I've been looking after for the last season, working over it. There's frostbite coming and might take it all out. All my hard work, I give that all to you. And that's what Abram did that day. He didn't look at Isaac as the promise. He didn't look that is mine. Wesley's mine. On Solomon Island. But I have to look to God, what God means to me. And what He has done in my life. And in response to that, I will go to Mount Moriah. I'm sure it must have been a terrible journey. that that day that Abram did. Going up, I won't take any more time. Going up to Mount Moriah that day, walking, and I'm sure that as young Isaac went ahead and the younger servants with the donkeys, they went ahead, and Isaac trying to make his way across this desert plain, dusty desert plain with the wind howling, and trying to cover himself, and he's trying to make his way to Mount Moriah, and this is Mount Moriah, what God told him to go do, and it's usually Mount Moriah is a beautiful place because I take Isaac there and I go sacrifice and we go praise God and we thank Him for what He has done. But today, Mount Moriah, you know, this morning as I came, I saw Mount Gambier and it stood out so beautiful. Just as you come over that, and it just stands out there. Mount Gambier, beautiful, you know. And I'm sure on many days, Isaac and Abram would go and they would see that mountain just appearing. Wow, we're going to go and go praise God. And it's a place of special place. It's a beautiful place. But on that day, I'm sure Abram cursed when he saw Mount Moriah. I'm sure he felt, Lord, why do I have to go there? I'm doing what you telling me to do. Why do you take me through this? Why do I have to go? And he goes up. And Isaac tells him, Lord, we've got the wood, you know. And we've got the light to set the thing alight. But where's the sacrifice? Dad, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. Don't worry, Isaac. God will provide. We have to live this life of sacrifice. We have to walk forward. I don't know how. God asked me to be obedient to Him. Boss asked me to come in for a shift tomorrow. Sabbath. I need that $250 or whatever I'm going to make for the day to pay. It's the Lord's day. I have to obey God. A life of sacrifice. God has called me. A life of sacrifice is not always expressed in joy. It's not always expressed in terms of, like when we see Mount Moriah or Mount Gambier, it's not always expressed in that kind of terms. Quite often a life of sacrifice is expressed in very humble terms, very sober terms. And they go to that mountain, set up the sacrifice, put the rocks, the wood. Isaac, you are the sacrifice. You're the one that has to lay down your life here. God has spoken. Isaac says, well, in that case, Father, if God has said it, lays down, and Isaac about to do the act of, and this is a gruesome act. There's nothing nice about it at all. Lifts the knife, and the next second, it's not a matter of what goes through Abram's mind. It's not that, well, God will do something, there's something, this is, God will intervene, God will. The next second, Abram knows that the life of that precious son is going to be taken. Not to be spoken to that child again. He's going to walk down there alone, back to the camp, and tell Rebecca, I had to sacrifice Isaac. That was what Abram was facing as he lifted that knife. And the Bible says that as he lifted the knife, I would like to think that there was intention, and it was on the downstroke. On the downstroke with full intention to be obedient to God. Nothing held back. Absolutely nothing held back. With full intention and full force, full effort, everything. I'm going to now have to do this. And on the down, God steps in and He intervenes. And He says, look towards the thicket. My friends, I want to tell you today, in each of your experiences, there's a ram stuck in the thicket for you. You follow God all the way. Follow God all the way in obedience. There's a ram stuck in the thicket for you. There is a sacrifice set aside for you. You follow God all the way. My last sermon, I said you can believe in every word that Jesus tells you. And today, I want to affirm to you that you can believe in every word that Jesus tells you is my prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a God that calls us to be disciples and to follow Him, and to follow Him wherever He goes. And sometimes He calls us to go through difficult places, but we know that God comes out for us every time. Every time He comes out for us. We know that we serve a God that has a purpose for our life, that has a mission for our life and a plan for our life, and we can walk out of here confidently knowing and trusting that God has the best for us. We pray that you come into our presence and we dedicate our lives to you. We give our lives, our everything in sacrifice to you. This is my prayer in your name. Amen.